Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in this Monday evening here on Terrace Talk, coming to you, as it always does, live from our studio here in Tralee, Ma Sheep Tranona, on Va Ma, and Shin Agus, Gorev Ma, on Tanul Ishtak, Tranona de Luan, on Shire Terrace Talk, with myself, Donald Barry. Now, on tonight's show, we will look back at Kerry's win over Tyrone in the company of Liam and John. Dan Carney will join us for a chat about Kerry ladies' loss to league leaders Armagh, all that, of course, in the first hour. And then after seven, we're going to change a little bit. We'll talk cross-country running, in particular the post-primary championships, in the company of St. Brendan's College, of course, in Killarney, who have been named the best school in the Munster Championships, and they're looking forward, of course, to the All-Ireland Championships. And then from 7:35, we'll catch up with the Kerry Master footballers, who prepare for their third competitive season, having reached, of course, the All-Ireland last season. And if you want to get in contact with us, as you normally do, our phone lines are open. Keane is there this evening on 066 712 3666, or you can text us on 083 300 3300. And of course, Ivan is out on Kerry FC duty, and we'll check in with John Drummy around 7:45, of course, this evening, because Kerry FC have a big game tonight. They're playing in the Munster Senior Cup, and of course they're having a replay with, of course, Treaty, and that fierce exciting game last week. Of course, John Kennedy being the GMN didn't go in there, but some other GFL across the road too, did he?
Of course I was, Donald. Like I said last day, we support all our Kerry teams.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. I suppose he was putting up an old banner or something. Good stuff. Come here, much better company this week. Kerry's win, back to winning ways. Jack O'Connor, of course, during the week was saying, it was an awful long week, John Kennedy, when you lose. He says, everybody's telling you about what to do right and what to do wrong. And he said it was even tough enough in his own house. I said, yeah, there was plenty of opinions. And that's the kind of week it was, from a fallout, from a loss. Fast forward a week, are we a little bit more content, maybe?
Oh, definitely, Donald. You know, it was a poor performance against Dublin, and look, Jack said it after, disappointed. I'd say for anyone involved in the squad, it was very disappointing, you know, because it was a lesson in Croke Park. It was all about a reaction, and definitely, you know, looking at Tyrone against Mayo, we felt it was going to be really tough, but I think, you know, a bit tinted it early on. You know, there was a bit of nerves around, and
it was a slow start.
It was a slow start.
It was, yeah, sluggish kind of a game,
and even maybe up to the 24th minute, you know, it was there or thereabouts. But we kicked 6 points to one, and that cushion carried us through a lot of very good performances. You know, thought the defence showed up well. You know, Jason Foley, Graham Sullivan, and Paddy, and Paul Murphy in the full back line. You know, we spoke about McCurry and Canavan, two very good forwards, but you know, they had little or no influence in the game. They were well marked. You know, we worked hard around the middle of the field, and I thought that our main men up front, the two Cliffords and Shawnee Shea, they did really well. You know, I think they kicked 15 points between them. David had some excellent scores, both from play and from freeze. But overall, look, it's not a knee-jerk reaction, not to get carried away. It's just two very valuable points, and you're almost safe. And I think somebody said today on the radio that, you know, if you win your two games, you could be in a final. Mm-hmm. But you're safe now anyway, I think. You know, another win, we should be okay. Yeah. So, you know, satisfactory.
And safer than we were last year. I mean, we were kind of struggling all the way to the end last year to get safe, but we're comfortably... We are safe, to be fair, I'd imagine, Monaghan, unless they normally do produce some massive scorelines to get over it. But it's in Kerry's hands, Liam, of course, and that's the most important thing for Jack. He's going in knowing one of the next two games needs to be won, and you're looking at the teams and you're saying, yeah, they're both winnable, aren't they?
They're both very winnable. Like Roscommon, who aren't really going that well. Mm-hmm. No, so is the next game. I think Kerry will be targeting that, just to put it to bed, or safety to bed, and they can work on to their trip away then, and their training and stuff like that. League final, still a possibility, but I think Dublin won't lose many games between here and the end of the league. Derry are the same. I think Derry kind of took the leg off the accelerator the weekend. I'd say a few mind games.
They had a weaker team out, to be fair.
They had a weaker team out, yeah. But that doesn't say that Dublin, you know, we still see Dublin are starting to slip up the gears. You can see that, you know. The weeks are slipping as well, so teams will be improving. And I think, even though we have two games left, I do think Jack will go to hell for later in these two games, because we have nothing in for a while. You know, it could be into the group stages before we get a decent game again. You know, I know the Cork boys over the border might be too happy with that, but at the way it's looking, that's what's going to happen. You know, so I think Jack will use the Roscommon and Galway games as good competitive games.
Yeah, let's go back to yesterday's game. Is a 1:15 start, Liam, kind of like, God, it's still kind of morning time, is it? Because the players, the crowd, there was no kind of sense of giddy up, get going, until something happened.
Yeah, until the little me Lee, the whole one's talking about it. Yeah. But even when the game finished and we coming home in the car and we were listening to games that were just starting, it was kind of unusual.
So
we were all just waiting for the result. No, I was listening to the radio and I was saying, oh, will I get the result of this game?
That's right.
The game's really
wanted
starting.
To check the table and forgot, to see who was there.
Kind of forgot that the game was so early. But yeah, I suppose there was a slow start to it.
Tyrone made the better of the slow start,
they did.
To be fair. I mean, they had played most of the football in the first 10 minutes.
They did, and it kicked a couple of good points.
Mm-hmm. And kicked a lot of wides.
But yeah, there's a lot of talk about this Millie that kind of got Kerry going.
Was it a Millie now, or was it a little bit more?
No, it was. I think it was a bit of a Millie. Look, there was only jerseys. I think the only thing that got damaged was jerseys. No, we had a bit of a one as well the week before, if you can think of it. The only difference was, and I what I liked about it is this Millie last day. Every Kerry player got stuck in it. No, it happened above in Crow Park the last night. It was Sean Shea. There was three or four fellas hanging around him. They wanted Kerry fell in sight. Don't know if you can remember in the first half.
Yeah.
No, like when things happen like
Do they need to get involved in it?
You don't really, but I suppose look, Tyrone kind of bring out the bit of extra bloodness, I suppose, at times.
To be fair to Tyrone yesterday, they wouldn't have been blamed for starting it.
They wouldn't have. No. But at times. There is times where you have to kind of go into these things and like don't leave one man in there. Everyone goes in, and I think that's what happened yesterday. All the Kerry players. So the referee isn't going to send off everyone, but there was really no clobber in it. All it was jersey pulling and pushing, and it was only handbags, really. But the only thing about like I suppose. The one thing when we see David Clifford getting stuck in these things, we don't like to see David stuck in these things because referees will talk to each other, they will be watching things and stuff like that, and he is going to be targeted. You know, so I'd rather see the likes of David out of it. It's not easy at times, but I don't know, you'll be kind of cringing at times when you see David or Paddy inside it because you're already waiting for maybe a black card or even a red card.
Yeah. John Kennedy, of course, after the game, Jack O'Connor, he has to go up and he has to face the media, and of course, he can be asked anything. Of course, there's only one question most people are going to ask him about, and it was about that Millie, and his reply was in kind of South Kerry terms, it wasn't intentional at all. I'm not too sure what caused it. It was a line ball or something. It certainly seemed to put a bit of life in our fellas, and sure, what's wrong with that, he added. And then he went on, of course, people then kind of fingered in, well, it was started by Kerry people and maybe David Clifford was involved. And he says, I don't think it's in David Clifford's interest to go boxing. And then he reverted back. He says, what do you reckon, lads? He would rather stick to the football. You're making a big deal out of it. And that's the fracas he's on about. They call it a fracas. You're fracas. A Millie. Yes, fracas is probably sounds better, does it? And then he says, maybe you're right. You might just be right. That said, John Kennedy, it was the little bit that put us back into a bit of life because we played some fantastic football after it.
We did. We responded well to it, Donald. You know,
a pint. We got a pint right away after it.
We did, yeah.
And it kind of lifted the crowd as well.
The ball, of course.
Tyrone actually gave it away. We intercepted it,
and
right.
And we got a pint. And it lifted the crowd. It lifted everything, yeah.
It did, yeah. And the Kerry crowd started chanting, Kerry, Kerry, you know, and all that. It lifts. The players respond to that. And you know, not by design, maybe, but when these things happen, you know, if they work to your advantage. I thought that Goldrick, he handled it well too, because another could have a knee-jerk reaction. Maybe
it took him forever to make it.
Did. His mind up. And we were saying that when we were over watching, John. We were saying, like, get the ball going. The last thing you want to do is have players come in a gang and let them be kind of thinking about it and pulling off each other. Get the ball going and get it on.
Because while they were having their meeting, there was a lot of pushing and shoving and, you know, stupid stuff, really. But look, it's Kerry responded and got the scores.
Whatever happened in the melee or fracas, poor Darren Mine was hauled out and he was found criminal.
The smallest fool in the field.
Definitely responsible for the whole lot of it. Paddy, of course, and probably another character, usual suspect maybe at this stage, and Peter Hart as well. But I mean, like, when these things happen, I mean, there's what, 10, 12, 15 fellas, would yet, you know, kind of three fairly randomly innocent fellas get picked out.
It's very hard because there's so much happening at that stage. You're it's kind of like toss a coin to who, but that's right, that's what I mean. Like, you know, and that's as managers, you kind of say, when this happens, you got to get in. No, you can't leave one Kerry fella on his own and just be and four or five Tyrone fellas, and we did it like the week before against Dublin. Sean Shea was on it because I remarked it at half time. We were kind of saying he was trying to get Kerry going. But he was there on his own with three or four Dublin fellas around him, whereas this was different. The tails were up. We wanted to get into this. If there was a Kerry fella down, we were getting in.
We
don't
condone that kind of, but it's great to see a team getting stuck in together rather than leaving a fella isolated. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the sign they responded well to too. Mm-hmm.
That's important. Come here, midfield improvement. A lot of comments in this evening says, lads, basically, last week he slated midfield. This week, well, I won't say ye slated midfield. Midfield were slated by a lot of people. And I even saw in the interview afterwards when Dermot Connor was getting man the match, there was kind of that cheeky smirk as well, you know, that midfield we're doing our best. Certainly an improvement, Sean.
Oh, no doubt about it. Look, and they were disappointed, you know, with the way they played against Dublin. But the whole team, as I said the last day, taking off guys at half time, you could take off any of the 15. Dermot Connor, look, he's our first midfielder that you'll be putting down on the paper. He's a natural. He's going to be one of our leaders now, or he is one of our leaders. And you know, he led by example yesterday. Not alone his game around the middle of the field, but I thought he was back in the defence. He was working extremely hard. And you know, Kennedy and Kilpatrick are two decent midfielders. Mm. And Joe Connor is coming very well. He's improving after that bad injury. So this is our midfield pairing, I think, for the championship. There's no doubt about it.
What suited him as well was our kick out.
Yeah.
We got our kick out quicker.
Yeah.
No. We pushed up on their kick out against Dublin. We didn't really do that. We kind of left Dublin get the ball in fairly lively. No, so that helps our midfield as well.
And like we said yesterday, Liam, the two of us when we were watching, like, when we didn't press up on the Tyrone kick out, you're giving advantage straight away.
Yeah.
These teams are comfortable on the ball. They get it to the guy that can carry it. And you know, when we did squeeze up, it was successful.
We turned them over.
And we turned them over, exactly.
Mm-hmm. The midfield magic, maybe it's a different sort of magic, Liam, that other midfield pairings have brought in their time. Obviously, you had the high fielding, and you had the scoring midfielder, and you had the attacking midfielder, and you had the David Morans of the world who kind of lorded midfield but protected his defence. Maybe the magic power that this midfield is their honest work rate. Because yesterday, I mean, the amount of ball they linked when they won it and secured it and fought, maybe that's where their magic is.
Yeah, and a lot of dirty ball that they won on the ground and stuff like that. And I think that's where it is. And I think the magic will come as well in over time. Yesterday, I was delighted to see Dermot get mad in the match, because that'll give him great confidence. Because, look, midfield has been a problem. You know, it's not a secret here in Kerry. And I think that performance yesterday from Dermot, hopefully it'll push him on. And with Joe beside him, because realistically they're our two midfielders. We got to stick with him, and we got to keep encouraging him at times. Alright, but look, against Dublin they were up against Fintan. He's a Rolls Royce of a midfielder. Mm-hmm. No,
in his home patch
in Croke Park and stuff like that. And like I said, our kick out malfunctioned either side. We couldn't stop them from getting it out and everything. So midfield wasn't a pretty place above in Croke Park. But yesterday, we fought. You know, you could see there was a bit of hurt there, because there was balls on the ground. We were diving him, Joe Connor, Dermot as well. The time he caught a great ball, he was pulled to it, and he got a bit of an injury that time. Right. No, there was a bit more bite about us yesterday.
They wanted to go forward one set position. John Kennedy, the forwards, we discussed it last week, and we said, God, you know, at times we looked fairly bare last week against Dublin. 3 points to 2, Tyrone kind of in charge of the game for the early 10-12 minutes, obviously that little bit of a fracas. But then fast forward from maybe the 13th minute of that to the second half, and we were 14 points to 7 ahead. And all them scores were fantastic scores.
Yeah, they were fantastic scores. And you know, like Paddy Clifford, I think he makes the team click. You know, his work rate, his distribution of the ball, but Adrian Spillane as well, he works tirelessly on and off the ball. Kicked a great point as well. And you know, look, when you give decent ball into the lads inside, I mean, David Clifford was well marshalled by Hamsey, but you know, the frees he got, he kicked him over the bar, kicked a couple of massive scores, and more importantly, the scores came at the end of very good moves.
Yeah.
A great diagonal running off the ball, making space, giving the ball to the guy on the, coming off the shoulder, and you know, kicking not under pressure. And that was the difference to the week before. We were under pressure doing things where we were in control, but some of the scores were top class. Shawnee Shea, David Paddy, you know, great scores.
And yet I'd say to you, the best team score yesterday didn't have any of those three involved in it. Of course, it's very brave now saying something like that. 9 points to 6, Adrian Spillane score, if you think about it. Quick kick out. Tadhg Morley picked it up, hoovered up fairly quickly, moved it on. Darragh Moynihan showed up, and he showed up a lot yesterday. Won the ball, slipped it into Adrian Spillane, and straight on the run over the bar, 10 points to 6, just before half time. And that's a point that is scored by the four players involved who aren't David and Paddy and Shawnee, and yet we will continuously talk about those. But as we go further into the championship,
we'll need more of
that. We'll need this more often.
We'll need more of that, because when you come across, like, if you're the Dublin manager or whatever manager, you're looking at Kerry at the moment, you're looking at yesterday's game, like, Shawnee and the two Cliffords are 15 points. So you're going to say, we got to close them down. That's why we're kind of saying here with the last couple of weeks, we need these guys to step up. And like Sean O'Brien kicked a fantastic score in the first couple of minutes of the game as well. Now, if you're open, you got to shoot. And I think that's what Kerry is. And I think Jack kind of made a couple of comments off the cuff. No, he's kind of letting them play off the cuff at times. No, and I think that's what we need to do in Kerry, is play off the cuff. If you're up forward, no, Killian Burke with the last couple of games as well, if he wants to put the ball in the toe, let him off. No, I know he might turn it over once or twice, but at the same time, he will create good things.
That said, playing off the cuff and driving forward and a whole lot, did we not get, or we didn't get enough out of what we were producing maybe? I mean, we left a lot of scores behind. I'm thinking about Gavin White running through and
the goal,
and he decided to go left to Shawnee Shea. Conor Guinea just before half time might have been an easier ball to slip into Jason Foley, who ran all the way to the goal.
Two kicks as well that he kind of forced this small bit.
You know, so maybe when we look back, or when Jack looks back with his video equipment and the whole lot, there's still an awful lot to work on.
Oh, there is, yeah. And I think overall, I think we had five wides only. Mm-hmm. But there was a couple of things that, like you said, a little slip pass here, or maybe we might have got more out of it. And it's always good when you have something to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Equal for Tyrone John. They're going up the road and they're saying, Mother of God, we will never in our life play as bad again, and still only finished up 4 points short of the great Kerry team.
Yeah, we spoke, was it after Liam, myself, you know, the goal brought them back into it. Mm-hmm. They never gave up,
and for some reason the changes that came on, they didn't gel together fairly quickly.
No, they didn't, you know, but they kept battling. You know, they'll be very disappointed. 7 wides in the first half to Kerry's 1.
A lot of wides,
you know, a lot of bad wides, in fairness, by players that should be scoring.
Canavans.
You know, the Canavans, yeah, exactly. And McCurry, you know, they should be scoring. But look, it's just, we're certainly not firing on all cylinders. We're not putting teams away. And you said there a minute ago about Gavin White, the goal chance. Gavin was outstanying yesterday. You know, he was probably vying with Dermot for man of the match. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on another day, maybe he'd have gone for that and stuck it in the net. And I think that's the difference, to put daylight between ourselves and teams and to really punish. We didn't do that. We had a few misses. But, you know, that'll come. I think it's the confidence. It's about taking that responsibility. And you rightly said there a minute ago, the score by Adrian Spillane. That's what we want, is a more even spread of score, or more people scoring. Mm-hmm. It takes the pressure off the lads, but it's giving confidence to the other players, because they're all contributing. But, you know, if you have five or six forwards that are kicking, it's very difficult to mark five or six. You might mark two or three, you know. But coming from the half-back line, I think that, similar to Dublin, the pace that we have there, Sean O'Brien did quite well too yesterday. You know, Gavin back to his best, and maybe taking on an extra yard and tapping it over the bar, you're going to the defence is opening, and chances will come from it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're driving up the field all day yesterday, and particularly through the centre of the field. Normally it goes up the wing, maybe there's more safety going up the middle as well. If it's spilled,
you can go left or right. If you go up the middle, you have way more options of not being cornered,
and there was a lot more going up. Let's go back to our defence. Dylan Casey was, I suppose, put back on the bench after last night. He's learning as well. Paul Murphy going in, far more experience, far more settled. Nervy enough, couple of incidents early on. I mean, he got cornered there for the ball and gave it away and the whole lot. But well settled throughout, and played massively from there on.
Yeah, like you said, experience. I suppose when the Kerry manager was sitting down, you're looking at McCurry. No more like Kerry with the Clifford and Shawnee Shea. They're looking at McCurry and Canavan. So if we can quieten them, you'll have a good.
And you picked up Canavan straight away.
And I think, and when you look at it, the two of them are taken off. That's a win for the Kerry defenders. But yeah, Paul was solid and say, cornerback now, right, yesterday.
Sean O'Brien then at 5, maybe an unusual place to put him, because everybody thinks if you ask
people back around his side of the country, they reckon he's a good half back. I know for his club he'll have to play out in the middle of the field, but he's a rangy young fella, and he's,
does that help in getting the ball out? I mean, when Shane Ryan stands up and he sees a guy a foot taller
an option.
As a 5 and a midfielder in his own head, who can kind of you know, go for a ball.
Exactly, and I think that's the thinking of Jack. You had Adrian Splann in one wing forward, and you had Sean. So you had two midfielders there as well as our two midfielders. No, so it was
ball getters.
They were ball getters. So you had an option for the kick out. All right, there.
Yeah, into midfield. We discussed them. We were fairly solid. Paddy delivered
the ball.
The quality of the scores that Paddy delivers, though. I mean, obviously, a point is the same as anybody's point. The hand fisted over the bar. But John Kinney, the way he's scoring, the massive of ease that he's scoring, and he's scoring when he gets into space as well. He's taking on the shot now from 30, 40, 50 yards out, and he's, you know, he's on target as much as his brother.
Oh, he's a player. Look, a lot of forwards, if things aren't going well, the heads drop and they look to pass it off. Paddy's the opposite. You know, he kicked a bad wide at one stage yesterday. Did it bother him? No. You know, if he makes a mistake, he makes up for it the next time. But, you know, his vision on the ball is brilliant. You know, his composure, and he seems to take the right option most of the time, in fairness to him. But like you said, you know, when the chance is on, he's go for it. He's not afraid to have a shot. I think that's refreshing, because so many times we've said it here, 21, 30 metres out or 13 yards out, and they're turning back. Paddy won't do that. He'll go for it.
Mm-hmm. Another person who, I suppose, you know, over the course of the last year, maybe 2 years, people are, I suppose the jury's out on Darren Moynihan. People say he doesn't produce enough, he doesn't work hard enough. The last number of games, he has really upped his game. And yesterday, I thought he was nearly in contention from hand to match, because
he gets on a pile of ball going, Lawrence. Yeah, he gets on a pile of ball with Doiting, and we spotted it yesterday, and I spotted it above in Dublin, is his man doesn't follow him. And I think it hurts us a small bit against Dublin, because his men stood beside David. And so that's, we need Dara to get on more ball then.
Do you need him then to be more productive than a hand pass, in knowing that he's unmarked in that instance?
Exactly, and it was like Joe O'Connor above, and I said it here last week, that Joe kind of realised in the second half that they weren't marking me, and he went through the middle and he got 1-1. Now Dara's got to be the same. It's grand winning ball around the half back line and the midfield, but if you're looking up then, we were kicking the ball into David, and he had two or three Dublin fellas around him. Mm-hmm. No, so whereas yesterday was kind of different now with the way Tyrone matched up. But he is a worker. You can't take that away from him. But I'd like to see closer to the end of the year, when we meet the real competitive good teams, that he's kind of stepping up more of a danger than up front.
More of a danger. So you're still not happy, Liam Brosnan, huh?
Sure, we never
God happy, yeah. At least John Kennedy said he was happy. He said well. Okay, lads, stay with us. We'll take a quick break. After a break, we'll talk to Dan Kearney about our loss above in Armagh, and we'll be back to the boys after that, and we'll talk about maybe the concern of our fade out. We'll talk about maybe who impressed off the bench, and we might talk a bit about Dublin and Derry and where the thing is going. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Kerry ladies failed to pick up anything from their visit to Armagh yesterday, as they slipped out of the automatic National Football League final placings, which they didn't really, to be fair, they're still in them, but they're still very much have it in their own hands to qualify for the Division 1 final. Dan Kearney watching it, of course, yesterday. It was never going to be easy going to Armagh. Armagh are on a bit of a roll at the moment then, but they were very impressive, weren't they?
Yeah, very impressive, and in particular the way they moved the ball, the way they kicked the ball, they were very, very quick, and they had one aim inside, and that was to get the ball in as quickly as possible to Amy Mack, and bore fruit, because she finished up at 2-7, so she was unstoppable. She was in absolutely brilliant form. But I suppose, look, they hit Kerry early, and you know, it's a tough long journey up to Armagh, and they had a 1-3 to a point lead after about 10 minutes gone in the game. But in fairness to Kerry, they came back, but they still went in at half time. I think it was 1-7 to 5 points down at half time, so Kerry were finding it difficult to get scores in that first half, even though when they did get the ball in themselves, I thought Emma Dineen and Hannah O'Donoghue, I thought the two of them had the beating of their markers, and Katie Brosnan was showing up as well. So it was just a difficult thing, was trying to get the ball into them. But we struck them for two early points in the second half, and it was the goal chances after Dolan that were the reason really why we didn't get anything out of the game. When it was kind of a, I suppose in the overall context of the game, Kerry had five goal chances, that we scored one. Armagh had three goal chances, and they scored them all, and that was the difference at the end of the day. Wouldn't be too worried about it. I thought the second half was particularly good from Kerry, but Armagh, they are a team very, very much on top of their game at the moment. And, you know, they're going to take some stopping. They're in the final now. But like you said at the intro there, it's still in Kerry's hands. You know, they have two games to go. You have your away to Meath, who in the last two games they're not going so well. So you might get a result there. You'll need to get a result there if you want to qualify for the final. And then it'd be all down to a home tie against Galway on the very last day of the league. So it's still all there. So unfortunate yesterday, you know, that we lost out. But again, it's still in Kerry's hands, Donal.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, to be fair to Armagh, I mean, when Gregor McGonigal came back, I mean, obviously they were eyeing up an All-Ireland. When you go through their team, Clonan McCambridge, Lauren McConville, Carolyn O'Hanlon, Aoife McCoy, Amy Mack and Kelly Mellon, these are quality players as well. And yet they're the type of players that Kerry need to be coming up against in the league to prepare them maybe for the bigger challenge in the championship as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it must be remembered as well that Kerry were without Larian Scanlon yesterday in the middle of the field, you know. But having said that, I thought Mary O'Connell and Anna Galvin did quite well in the middle of the field. But yeah, they have those experienced campaigners. What I will say, I think they look fitter than most teams in the league this year. I think McGonigal has gone in, you know, kind of similar to the way Kerry went at the league last year, in the sense that they want to make a marker in the league. So whether they can transfer that now to the championship, it remains to be seen. But they're certainly going to be a threat. There is quality in their side, so they are definitely going to be in the shake up. Like, and any team that has the likes of the players that you mentioned and the likes of Macken and these as well, like, you know, they're going to be a serious threat going forward. So yeah, look, it remains to be seen. You know, there's still a final. I think whether it's Kerry or Dublin are creeping along nicely. They're
a point, yeah.
You know, at this stage, only behind Kerry. Like, you know, so look, whether it's Kerry or Dublin that do get to the final. You know, I kind of discount me at this stage, to be honest about it.
They're having an awful bad wobble at the moment. I mean, the defeat to Galway, yeah. I mean, Galway are delighted with that win, because obviously it keeps them involved in it again to stay in it. And Cork, of course, are going backwards, and Waterford can't buy a win no matter how hard they play. Go back to Katie Brosnan, because we discussed Emma Dean and Hannah Dunahoe maybe in a bit, but Katie Brosnan mightn't be a player a lot of people have heard. She's in and out of the Kerry panel with a long time. I think she's got stronger as well, which is a great sign as well. Tell the people about Katie Brosnan.
Yeah, Katie Brosnan is still a very, very young player, right? Has she turned 21? She might be turning 21 this year. So I mean, she's a girl like that. She's been on the panel the last couple of years. But for me, the last day in Armagh, it was her best game in a Kerry jersey. She played quite well in the very first game against Dublin as well. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, I thought she showed well for ball. She used the ball very, very well, and she finished with 1-2. And she took her goal expertly. Like, I mean, she banged it into the top corner. Left legged player. You know, she's a kind of one of these players that is improving. And if you can go up to Armagh and you can put in a good performance like that, you know, it's a great sign for the future. And you know, she's going to be thereabouts. She's going to be chomping at the bit, like, you know. I mean, if there's serious I suppose competition in that Kerry full forward line, if you consider you have Murray Hurtig to come back in there, you have Danielle O'Leary off the bench. I suppose Sheer Frochet will be coming back around May June time, like, you know. So there's serious competition in that Kerry full forward line, but Katie Brosnan on a performance yesterday, she's right up there with them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, no football next weekend, of course, because there'll be all O'Connor Cup weekend and an awful lot of players involved in various teams. Then the two games remaining, Meath and Galway, as you said, it's in our own hands to win. I would imagine, without putting too much pressure or target on the back, they're games that are very manageable and very winnable.
Oh, very, very winnable. Like we were saying there, I mean, Meath are going through a bit of a patch there at the moment where they can't, you know, they seem to have gone off the boil completely. I don't know what's gone wrong with them. Are they kind of, is it that they were doing a different kind of training at the start of the season, or what's the story? I don't know, only they can tell us that. But definitely, you know, Kerry can go up there and can get a result, and then it would be all down to the Galway game at home. Now, Galway, of course, are fighting for their lives. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and they've always, you know, they're a top team, they're going to be thereabouts. I mean, the fact that they're down near the bottom of the table really in a way, is a lie to the fact that they've only lost games by the margins, you know, bare margins, 2 or 3 points and that kind of thing. They've always been in there, like, so it's in Kerry's hands, but they're two very, very tough games. I expect us to get a result up in Meath, which you mightn't have a few weeks ago, but I think that with the fact that Meath are on a downward spiral and Kerry are still, you know, particularly going by their second half, the last day, they're still building and nicely, they're still there. So I expect to get a result above Meath, and then I think it's going to come all down to the last day against Galway. And, you know, you're back in another final there in spite of yourself, in fairness, because it wasn't targeted at the start of the year. I mean, the management were quite clear in saying that they, you know, they didn't really care once they stayed in Division 1. You know, when you have an opportunity to defend your title and to get to another final, you know, and you're well in there, I think that they'll probably seize it, really, and yeah, hopefully that they will get the results. Like, but the all important result is in Meath, because if they get a result above Meath, it'll set up a grandstand finish then against Galway in the last game.
Absolutely, and we'll be all looking forward to another trip up to Croke Park. We can never get to Croke Park enough times, especially with the ladies as well. Listen, Dan Kearney, thanks very much. Thanks for joining us. That was Dan Kearney, of course, reporting there on the Kerry versus Armagh round 5 game. It's amazing how many weeks fly away as it is. Back to Kerry, a lot of comments coming in. Some people, I suppose, want the panel to discuss maybe the newer players. Obviously, yesterday Killian Burke wasn't there. But Sean O'Brien, as you mentioned earlier, stood out. We've kind of discussed that. We mentioned Conor Gainey as well. I mean, it was a big enough ask for Conor Gainey to kind of step in yesterday, Liam, and maybe start that game. Was there a lot of pressure put on him?
I suppose he'd have pressure himself anyway.
Yeah.
Don't know if it wouldn't be directly put on him by Jack or the management team, but sure, any time you put on the Kerry jersey, you're going to have pressure on your shoulders anyway. And like, he did all right. He had two snapshots at the goals. Now, other days, they probably would go over. But
we'll have to get you off the old social media with the old Snapchat. John Kennedy wouldn't make that mistake.
I wouldn't mind that. And not even on Snapchat. But yeah, it was just kind of rushed him a small bit and they went into the goalkeeper's hands. But other than that bit of experience and stuff like that, you know, like I said, he's been coming off the bench for a few games, started his first game. You know, so he's going to be a guy in the next couple of years, and before the year is out, we're going to have the likes of Conor Gainey.
If he might have been a little bit disappointed to be coming off, Tony Brosnan came on 30 minutes again, 35 minutes for Tony. How would you rate that?
Great to see Tony back anyway again. But I felt that we didn't get a real impact off the bench yesterday. We just said it off the air, Donald. Difficult to come into a game, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes. There's a pattern. You're coming in. You need to get on the ball early. And, you know, great to see Ockenbauer back as well. You know, I think we need these guys. But look, maybe if we can get the 2 points against Roscommon, maybe give these guys a game then against Galway, you know, or certainly look at more of them, because we'll need the panel. We need the strength of it. But you look at the Tyrone bench, no real impact by there either. So it just goes to show that coming off the bench, it's difficult.
If we want to win in All-Ireland, we have to win.
We have to.
Like, if we look back to the All-Ireland final last year, we had no impact really off the bench.
No.
And Dublin will have a big impact. Getting back to Tony Brosnan, grand, he's back and everything, but we need him closer to the goals.
Mm-hmm.
No, like he can freeze out around the 65 yard line. That's no good.
He was in the middle yesterday, and he was playing ball into David, and maybe one mistimed over his head and off it went. Which I suppose, you know, when you are a forward, you want to be scoring. Maybe you don't want to be linking the play in that manner. A couple of comments in. Hi, Don, at the game yesterday, on a couple of occasions, Kerry players, even though they were fouled, they broke the tackle and were gone, but the referee called it back, which gave the Tyrone backs a chance to organise. There is a chance for the referee to use the advantage rule. What did the panel think of that? Referees, it is kind of infuriating when you kind of break the tackle and you're gone away and
called back,
and next thing you're called back. What do you reckon, Liam?
Yeah, he did. It happened a couple of times, all right, yesterday. But overall, I thought he did a decent enough game. No, he kind of played as I would say with a bit of common sense. Like even the fracas that we had. You know, he didn't go mad. I think it wasn't a big dirty game, right, by any means. But yeah, when we want to play attacking football and we're trying to get the ball up into our forwards lively and teams are going to try to stop it, we don't want the referee kind of helping him either. We want the referee to be giving us the bit of advantage, and it did happen a couple of times yesterday.
John Kennedy, another comment coming in. I won't go through a lot of it because there's a lot of it there, but basically there is a concern about us fading out of a game that we were totally in charge and still only coming home by 4 points.
Yeah, it's a concern. You know, of course, we won the game and all that is, you know, but like...
At what stage of a game like that does it seep into the players that they've won that game?
I suppose at the 59th minute, yeah. We were up 9 points. Yeah.
It's no matter what you say, like, it's very difficult to keep the concentration. And we've always said it. When you make changes... No reflection of the guy coming on. It disjoints the team. Their rhythm is gone.
What in particular destroys the rhythm? Is it the fact that the guy coming on mightn't know who he's marking? Is it the guy coming on moving to a different position, moving another player to a different position? What disjoints
and,
it as such?
It takes time to get into the game anyway, Donald. You know, if you can get on the first ball when you come in, you're into it. But the longer it goes without you getting on, you're chasing things then. And you know, you're alone, the opposition. Like, Tyrone had to come back into the game, and like, they got the goal, and it put, you know, more respective look on it. We were never going to lose the game. There's no question or doubt about that. But a little bit of complacency comes in. When you're 9 or 10 points up, you know, you're going to drop down a little bit, and you add in your substitutes coming in, then, you know, that the whole thing, there's a bit of lethargy coming into the team. And of course, maybe, you know, it's the third game in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was tough, you know, particularly the first half. There was a lot of hard running, you know, and to get into that lead. But I wouldn't be unduly worried about it, because, you know, you're still only the first week in March. We're still only building the fitness, and like Liam said, I think that, you know, you have that block of training coming up in Portugal or wherever they're going to. I think all that is going to help coming towards championship, because obviously you have to balance your hard running, your hard work, your conditioning, and games, which is difficult.
Yeah. Tyrone's response yesterday, looked at the game afterwards, they were kind of saying, look, we had an awful lot of unforced errors. Peter Hart was a huge loss to us. We lost him at six. They lost, of course, their midfielder, Con Kilpatrick. They felt that Kerry were able to get their shots away a lot quicker. But then something that you wouldn't normally hear from a Tyrone supporter, Kerry seemed to get on top of the physical stuff. Is that praise for Kerry from Tyrone, or is that Tyrone saying, God, you know, we might have lost some of our magic, Liam?
I'd say, yeah. But I suppose, like, but it wasn't a physical game, you know, by any means. Like, we've seen Kerry and Tyrone games get really nasty.
Maybe
really
physical in the sense that the 50-50 challenges were won by Kerry.
And
you saw
the
midfield, you saw Joe O'Connor winning them as such.
Yeah.
That's very unlike Tyrone to give those up.
It is, yeah. And it's kind of Tyrone throughout the year, really. You know, they haven't, it's not that it just happened yesterday. You know, they have been, the last week, I think we met Peter Canavan in Dublin, and he was telling us over 2 years, they have 80 players. Oh, no, sorry, 200 players. I think over 2 or 3 years have tried out for the Tyrone. See, the point he was making, there's no consistency there. No, there's a lot of players gone through. And I suppose, look, we all renown the great Tyrone teams as being tough and stuff like that. But no, I suppose they weren't. I thought we kind of outbattled them now yesterday, all right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very unlike Tyrone, of course. We will meet him during the year as well. Something totally off random free. Goalkeepers, Niall Morgan kicking the free yesterday, of course, or the 45. Shane Ryan, of course, good keeper. You weren't up last night at 1:30 like me watching the NFL combine.
I was watching it, yeah.
Oh, are you?
I was, yeah.
Rory Began,
yeah. Yeah.
And the Wicklow keeper, and obviously the Down keepers over there as well. It seems to be a lot of keepers.
And you would know Instagram.
I was watching you on
Snapchat. Yeah.
Come here to me. Monaghan at the bottom of the table, they've conceded 11 goals, and there's a small bit of an outcry on Rory Began that he should be at home for himself playing with Monaghan. What in the name of God is he doing out there? What do you think, Liam?
Well, Rory Began I reckon he'll get a phone call that could change his life. No, if he goes
to come home, is it?
No, but to stay in America. Like, no, when you have guys like this, and I suppose this debate came up when David Clifford and Mark O'Connor went to Australia.
Yeah.
No, they're professional athletes when they go to these countries, and they make good money and things like that.
And there's
you couldn't begrudge anyone doing that. Yeah. No, David stayed.
Yeah.
Fair play to him. It wasn't for him. You know, Mark went off. He's doing very well for himself. No more like Rory Began or the rest of the guys that were on show last night. No, if they get a contract in the NFL, no, they'll make enough money that it'll take them a while to make it here and playing Gaelic football.
And when it comes down to John, I mean, this is the debate, and we'll talk after the break about the new president coming in as well. Amateur versus professional. Even though we have in our mind that we're exceptionally professional, we are still amateur.
There's no doubt we are amateur, that's it. And, you know, Began owes nothing to Monaghan, in fairness. I think Vinnie Corey even stressed that after League Game 1 or 2 when he spoke about him. But Monaghan certainly need him because, you know, McDonald coming in, particularly yesterday against Galway, you know, a new keeper, the defence may not have the confidence in him. They're not playing, they're not comfortable with each other, maybe. Flopped at a few balls, particularly the one he went up on his own and dropped the ball. These things happen.
And we even see how important it is with Shane Ryan, your kickouts.
Absolutely, yeah. And when a goalie makes a mistake, there's no...
It's highlighted. Yeah.
It's highlighted.
Sure, I know two fellas across here waiting for goalkeepers to make mistakes. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Congratulations to the Kerry Seniors and Management on their win. Continued luck to the Kerry Senior Ladies and Management. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann Blow there in 2 sits. And thanks for tuning in this evening. Guys, huge improvement yesterday, says PJ from Kerry. Yesterday, any time the ball got moved quick, we did damage. Yeah, we mentioned that earlier. Well done, PJ. Gavin White and Darren Mahon were outstanding. One thing I noticed early on in the game was Shane Ryan was looking for the quick restarts early in the game, and there was no ambling out yesterday. Absolutely, PJ, everything was moved up a couple of gears yesterday. Great commentary from Tim and Ambrose, as always. That's from, I think, Tim Minton, is it? and the refading out, Donal. Bring down Gerlach Nan from Clare. He will make the team run up and down Mount Brendan every night for 20 nights. John and Kilcoman. God, it might be the driest part of the land at the moment, up and down the mountains, because you can't get fields. Hello, Donal. Great show as always. Thank you very much. Great win for the Kingdom yesterday. It felt like a challenge game more than a league game. Yeah, absolutely. It did have that kind of approach. Dermot O'Connor was outstanding, and of course, two Cliffords. Let's hope we drive on now and win our next two games and hopefully make a league final. There was a touch of a friendly about it at stage, Liam.
There was, and I suppose that's getting back to our point with Tyrone. They didn't really bring any physicality to it or anything like that. But I think, yeah, I think the game was won, look, after the 24th, 25th minute when we actually pulled away, kicked the six points to one at that stage. And they never looked like coming back. Because any time they did make a kind of a bust at us, we were able to go up the field and maybe kick a score. But like your listener said, the main thing yesterday was we got our kickouts right and we moved the ball quickly, and if we can do that, we'll be a match to any team out there. But they're the two things we have to do: work, get our kick out, and transition from defence to forward, get the ball as quick as we can up to forwards, and hopefully have a few forwards in there, not just David on his own.
Jeez, you sound like a manager. Transition from I'm not a Glenfiesc man, but I saw Darren Roach play against my club last year. He came on in the second half when his club needed him. He scored 4 points, left foot and the right. I would love to see him given more time. If Kerry had him in the final last year, we could have won. He is big and strong and as good as what is there. John Kennedy, he is a good forward. Maybe he, you know, people are saying, is he getting enough time? Is he getting more time? This time last year, he was one of the stars of the league after the first couple of early rounds. Does it take him a bit of time to get back into that, or is it just that there's so many ahead of him at the moment, or do fellas like Killian Burke kind of just jump ahead of fellas with having a good county championship?
Yeah, even though
Darragh Roach was our player of the county championship.
Yeah, good question. He's a great county championship. You know, he's a great kicker.
Different positions, though.
Different
positions,
exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I think maybe he wouldn't be a wing forward. You're trying Killian Burke, you're trying to improve your half forward line in particular. You look at the competition he has for inside, like David and Sean, you're going to be there. You know, Paul Ganey probably coming back. You know, Darragh Mahon in there playing that role. But look, there's no doubt about that he's a superb player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a scorer.
And what I like about him is he'll stay inside in the full forward.
Stay inside, yeah.
He'll be a target man inside.
The ball sticks him when it goes as well. He's a quality player. Again, some players get more game time than others, and you know that's a management decision. He could see a lot of game time
next
before
two games.
The end of
the I think the next games two games now he might get, as they say, an old gallop.
He's not going to Cheltenham. come here, new president. what was the last person's name? Well, I do that, maybe forget his name.
He forgot enough names.
Charlotte Burns is a new name. We won't forget him, obviously, a great footballer in his day as well. Liam, when a new president comes on, they all come with kind of, I'm going to do A, B, C and D. Do they have it in their power to do that? Do they have it in their power to kind of change the world for those 3 years?
I don't know. They'll try to do something different, all right, but I suppose there's only so much you can do. Because he'll have to get the ratification of all the county boards and all the committees and all that kind of stuff. But I suppose if he comes in with good ideas and things that will improve the game and improve the association, I can't see why not. And there is things to be improved. We can see things. There's definitely things that can be done.
One of his ideas, John, every county treasurer in Ireland is either for it or mostly against it, is he wants to bring in a system where every county will have to spend the same amount preparing a team. And the figure he kind of based was 400,000. Now, last year we were 1.1 million and Limerick were a lot more and Galway were a lot more and I'm sure Dublin was a lot more as well. And then I suppose on the other side of you have smaller counties struggling to get to that level of it as well. On paper it sounds kind of a nice idea, but I mean there's going to be some managing it, and I dare say that if you have to cut things back, you're going to face all sorts of objections from people.
I think so, Donald. You know, there's now the argument is there's huge money being spent in teams. It's professional in everything but name. You know what I mean? And as we said earlier on, it's still an amateur game. But look, we saw it there a few years ago when they brought in a time scale when teams could come back training, teams sneaking in and doing early morning sessions and all that. You know, at the end of the day, look, there's money available to county teams. It's not about going out selling lottery tickets to make it. You know, there's people prepared to put money to see their county improving. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, there's going to be an imbalance. You know, obviously you won't be putting the same amount of money into a team like Leitrim or Carlow as you are to Kerry or Dublin. And if you want to be successful, you know, the bar has been risen in both hurling and football. Huge time, huge effort, huge manpower coming in, and, you know, professional people coming in, and they are coming at a price.
And if you go down that road, there's only one fella that's going to lose out. That's the player.
That's the player, yeah.
That's the player. Because you're going to have to cut expenses, you're going to have to cut, you know, training gear, meals for training, travelling, all that. So at the end of the day, and there was talks about it the last couple of weeks, how we need to look after the players. And so I can't really see that being a runner, to be honest.
We've been part of it as players and as management here in Kerry. And I'd have to say the Kerry County Board, they're never phone wanting, Liam. I never heard a player complaining. You know, expenses, medical, whatever they want, it's their gear, you know, great sponsor, great people involved, and the people at the top have changed, but the system stays in place. And you know, you have to have a standard. It's going to cost you money, and you know, once the money is there, that it's not coming back on clubs to fund it, you know, I don't see any great problem. And of course, look, the idea is great. I don't think it's practical.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a soundbite just to kind of maybe people along the way discuss it. Another soundbite that has become an actual thing is the new GAA Rules Committee, particularly for football. Yeah. And of course, your friend Jim is on it. He never played against him, did he? No, I played with Eamon, though. Yeah, Eamon's on it as well, giving his few ideas out, which were shot down by Paul Flynn, which obviously means that they must be good ideas in the first place. The Rules Committee, what are we looking for here? Well, I mean, obviously people are looking for what? More exciting football, more attractive games.
So, yeah.
But in reality, what kind of rules will help that?
I think the one rule for me would be to keep four players inside your half at all times. I think it's just the 15 behind
the
ball.
How is that even manageable?
Yeah, very
Who
manageable.
Who is going to stand and watch that? Are you expecting a referee to turn his back around when the ball's been kicked out to find out for four players?
For inter-county, you have eight officials.
But that's your sixth don't official. Do much.
Well, but that's the thing, like. So, but look, just say, for instance, we're playing Fylemore in the morning, and that is the rule.
But I'm going to
make a roar if you have all your fellas behind us. So the referee is going to know anyway. You know, that's if you go down to that level. But at a county level, because 15 men behind the ball, goalkeepers coming out, it's a hard watch. You know, and people are. And if you look at it yesterday, we had only 6,000 people at the game yesterday,
yeah.
Kerry and Tyrone. It is dying a small bit, all right, the attractiveness of it. It is, yeah.
Like most people in the crowd yesterday didn't get excited too often about a few things. There was a few oohs for a few points.
But wouldn't it be great if we could kick the ball into David Clifford, Sean O'Shea, Tony Brosnan, and they're one and one with their men. And like just Conor Kelly, like Dublin last week, even though they taught us a lesson, they were lovely to watch because every time they got the ball, they were taking their men on. You know, it was exciting, it was ever. So get rid of the mark, bring in that rule that if the four fellas inside are all half at all times, and at least we'll have a bit of football. And you know, a defender will have to be a defender, a forward. Like a lot of defenders out there now at the minute, Donald, they want cover. Jesus, back in John's day, my day, like cover, you were just, no, you were, and when I got the ball, you were just told, take our man on. But you're, no, when you take our man on, there's a wall in front of you, so you have to go sideways, you have to go backwards. So that's why the people are kind of switching it off.
It's the problem with the GA, John, and it's not a big problem, but when you're making a rule, whatever rule comes in has to go from the basic club level all the way up to inter-county. Are we getting to a stage where we need to make different rules for inter-county players because they're at a higher level of fitness, they can cover the ground a lot quicker than club players?
I think so, you know, and I think the first step by Jarlett Burns is he's a great committee in place, to be honest. He's people that have played it, you know, they've managed. They see the problems like all of us.
But are they going to see it through the eyes of managers who have developed all these tactics down the way? I mean, obviously the blanket defence and all this has come through managers more than players.
Oh, it has, there's no doubt about it. But I think it's to make it attractive. But then again, you know, will the manager that wins the All-Ireland, is he worried about an attractive game? He's worried about winning the second
World. Oh, that's all there,
you know, and that's the thing. Like Liam said, it's certainly a concept which should be looked at, is keeping so many inside the 45. That could bring problems, because if I'm marking Liam and I'm a wing back and I go beyond it, you know, has someone to go back in instead of you then? So
that's
you've got three defenders.
That's it,
And to be practical about it, referees have come in for criticism. It's difficult enough to ref it with simple rules. But the more rules you bring in, the more complicated it is, and like, it's a difficult job to do, and the pace of the game. But look, I think that it's something, whatever they do, it should be trialled. See how the trial works, maybe in the National League. You know, people have said about, you know, the Sigerson, Triton Sigerson. No, you need to try it in the National League. Forget these pre-season games. Try it in the National League. Will it work? If it does, then you can tweak it and then put it to Congress.
So no North Kerry League game goes straight to Championship, is it? I can like try out the rules there. Listen, John, Liam, thanks very much for this evening. We're on our way, as Liam says, almost to Croke Park, where we have to win a couple more games. But it's certainly much better than it was last week. Do you ever do a bit of cross-country running, Liam?
No.
Donald, you know something there? We just see it in front of me here. The great Dan McCartan passed away during the week. One of the icons of...
Down.
You know, down a great down team, but you know, a great loss, great family, great loss to the GA, and you know, all GA people will remember him and the McCartan family.
Absolutely, well done, John. When I change from football to something probably a lot more exciting, really, cross country running, I can hear people saying, "My God, we were all subjected to that in our day." And of course, we're joined by St Brendan's College. They're preparing for the All Ireland Assault. This was on the post primary cross country championships, and of course, St Brendan's, they won the best school in Munster Schools cross country in Cork recently. A first for the school, we sit with our fingers crossed. And it's been very rarely, if ever, achieved by Kerry schools. So I mean, we thought it'd be kind of a bit special to have a look behind the scenes in the company of those who are, I suppose, making that magic happen. And I'm delighted to be joined this evening by coaches, I suppose we'll say coaches, Laura Hellacy and Rachel Bowler, and three exceptionally talented athletes, which we'll get to in a second. First of all, Laura, excited to have you on board. It's great that you arrived with every sort of a cup, ones that have tins and the whole lot. It must be exciting to be involved at this particular time with so much success.
Oh, it's fantastic. The boys are flying it with the cross country season. So we were so proud of them to win Best School in Munster. And as you said, they're a first for St Brendan's College. So it's fantastic. And I suppose earlier in the year, they won Best Boys School in Kerry. And they've won that for the last 4 years. So, you know, phenomenal success, really. So I'm only delighted to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there is the Kerry aspect to it, there's the Munster aspect to it, and obviously the All-Ireland aspect to it, Rachel. But I mean, thoroughly successful at the Munster Championships.
Very, very successful, yeah. We had three teams travel to the Munsters who qualified from South Munsters. So our minor boys team came third overall, so they got bronze medals, and we've Ryan here in studio as well, who came second on the day, who he got a silver medal. And we also had a junior team who won it out. They won the Junior Boys Perpetual Shield, and Jack Cullity here with us came 10th on the day, so he also earned himself an individual qualifying spot. And then the senior boys team came third also, and Ted came 17th, Ted O'Gorman, so he's here with us. And it was great, I suppose, the combination of all our points helped us get that best overall school, and it was the first time for St Brendan's College to get that.
And of course, when people talk about athletics, they think it's an individual sport, but the team ethos to athletics is huge. I mean, it's all about getting to the finish line as far as you can. If you're 13, try get 12th, and if you're 15, try get 14th, and if you're first, I dare say, try and hang on to it maybe as well. But that ethos must run through, and there must be a great team bond as well through the teams.
Massively, yeah. I suppose, like you said there, Donal, like athletics is often seen as a very individual sport, but you've relays, you've cross-country teams, and I suppose we've Arthur Fitzgerald, who would train the lads and be heavily involved in athletics for years in the school, and he kind of gave them a pep talk beforehand, and it really drove them on. And it was a case of, look lads, you're out here to do your best on the day, and every place counts, every single place counts, and if you think you're far back the group, it doesn't matter, you have to finish the race anyway. And I think that really hit home with the students that we brought with us, and we brought 20 overall, and we couldn't be prouder of their achievements. They were just phenomenal on the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you brought Trayden with you this evening as well. You didn't run over here, Ryan, did you?
No.
No, you talked out tonight. Ryan Vickers, of course, is the voice you're listening to, and Ryan's over in Fieries. Second in the minors individual, Ryan. I mean, that's a massive achievement.
Yeah, no, it was when I fell during the race, so wasn't my best planned one, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Cross-country running, I mean, tis gas, as you said, you've fallen through the race. It's not like track. I mean, obviously you go around the track and you know you're quite safe, maybe if you elbows here and there. But there's a lot of different obstacles. I mean, the weather, the conditions. I mean, that start at the start of a cross country, I mean, that's a fearsome place to go. What's it like for you getting out at the start? Are you a get out ahead guy at the start, or are you kind of, we'll leave them all go ahead and try and catch a few more of them?
Well, I do a bit of sprinting, so that would help me a good bit. So getting out at the start is basically just me going for a full whack just to try and get somewhere, and once you're out you can just keep going, so it's easy enough.
And is it in your head that when you want to get out, you want to get out in the top 10, you want to get out ahead of some fella, are you looking at another fella that you kind of know, that I know this guy from under 16 somewhere else that I've raced him, I need to get out ahead of him, or maybe I need to get away from other people who mightn't be that experienced in a race that might cause a bit of damage somewhere along the way?
Yeah, sure, it's mostly me against whoever goes out. Like, it's better on track because I know exactly who's going to be in the top two or three, but with cross country it's whoever gets out quick.
It's a great leveller as well, cross country, isn't it? I mean, sometimes the guy who's kind of maybe fairly average can just put in a very good day and be in the mix as well. Jack Cullity, I mean, the juniors won. Talk to us about your race.
Before the race I was maybe hoping to get an individual medal, but as the race went on then I kind of realised that wasn't possible, and I started running more thinking about the team and just trying to get every place I could.
Yeah, that's a very brave call. I mean, in the race, even at your age, to think that, okay, you know, it's not going to be first, second or third, but I'm not going to throw the towel in, I'm going to try and get the highest position I have. Do you know early on in the race that, you know, maybe they're just a little bit better than me today?
You know, sometimes maybe your legs or, you know, your body just feels it, and you just know on the day that it's not going to be possible, but I suppose you have to finish every race and just give it your best, and that's all you can do, really.
Mm-hmm. And of course, every day is different. I mean, just because you didn't do it on a Tuesday doesn't mean you can't do it on Friday next week or something, or when it comes around. So are you looking forward to the All-Ireland?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah. Ted, I mean, dare say that the further up the charts you go from junior to minor to senior, it gets fairly competitive, does it?
Yeah, I know the standard is very high in senior. Like, you're running with the best of the country, especially for All Ireland. So it'll be tough now. And there are some good athletes in Munster. So it was a tough race.
Yeah. The team then, of course, is probably all gold free at that stage when you're looking to kind of pack together fairly well. I mean, do you kind of know early on that your teammates will be spread across, or do you kind of run together, or do you kind of dare say hardly pass each other out maybe, or
South Munsters, we had a fair idea, we knew the course, like, so we kind of knew our own standards, who could go from where, and we kind of just kept picking people off as we went on, and every place counts, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Laura, when you're looking at the race, I mean, as a coach, you send your team out, you have your six or eight or whatever it is running around. Are you watching them all, or are you kind of saying, God, he's in 14th and he's 16th and he's 19th?
We are running around as much after them. I'm cheering them all on, yeah, and telling them what position they're in and giving them any bit of encouragement to pick off the fella in front of you and keep going. The finish line isn't too far away.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you know then, as a coach, when some of them might be struggling a little bit more and they might need that little bit of ward around the corner when they're hitting the corner and saying, God, you know, you're only, what, maybe 14 feet away from this guy, or maybe you're 20, or the guy is struggling ahead of you. That word of encouragement must be very important.
Very important, yeah. I suppose when you hear a name being called in a race, or you hear someone cheering you on, I suppose it's a mental battle as well towards the end, rather than a physical battle. It's mind over matter nearly. So we ensure that we're trying to cover as much of the course as we can, as well as the athletes, and that we're nearly running with them, that we do cheer them on. Like Laura said, we let them know where they're placing and things like that. And I think that made a difference with a lot of the teams. Yeah.
Yeah. Comment coming in from a listener. They'd like to know the actual distances. It's obviously more than 100 metres they're running into at this stage. Yeah. What distance are you running, Ryan?
I had 2.5k this week. I had 2k in St Munster. So it's a long enough one, but look, it's grand.
What's that in kind of all money time? Does it take you how long? Are you running half an hour? Or are you running?
Less than 10 minutes anyway. It's around the 7 or 8 minute mark most days, most weeks. But
so there's not much time to ease up. You're on the gallop for most of it, are you?
Yeah, it's pretty much a stress sprint for most of it. But look,
Tate, what about the senior one?
We had 6k, so it was
okay. You couldn't gallop that first.
Yeah, no, it was a very long race, but anywhere around 20, 25 minutes, most people.
Yeah. How would you approach a 6K? Obviously, Ryan sprints the whole 2000 and he's back and dressed before most of them are finished. But 6K, it's a long run. I mean, do you kind of break that in and say, listen, I'll get out, I hold the lead, I rest for a bit maybe? Or is it kind of, I just go for as long as I can, as fast as I can?
Yeah, well, I suppose the main purpose is to not die out, because mm-hmm. it can be a very long race, and if any negativity goes to your head, like, you can just fall back. We had four big laps, so it was kind of easy to take it lap by lap and every position after each other. So it's just hard to keep it up, like, for mm-hmm. the whole four laps.
It's interesting that one of you mentioned it was kind of more of a mental thing as well, you know, that you have it in the legs, you have trained for it, you are good enough for it. But where's the big mental obstacles? Is it some guy coming out of the blue on the third lap just passing you out and saying, God, where did he get his petrol from?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say it's the most mentally tough sport. Like, it's all... You know, it's how you're feeling on the day, as you said. But if you see somebody ahead of you, you don't know how they're feeling either. So it's just all about staying in the race.
Yeah. Jack, talk to me about the team. I mean, obviously you don't carry all of them on your back. You have a couple more of them with you. Who's with you on the team?
A lot of my friends from second and third year. But there's a good crowd. There's about 8 of us, and they're all very good runners, you know.
Do you have the banter about it? Do you come home and say, I beat him this week or whatever? I mean, is there a bit of a slagging going on as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. On the buses home, yeah, they'd be definitely raised up, yeah. Different. It's a bit unpredictable, like anybody can beat anybody, and, you know, the next race, things could be different, so, yeah.
Yeah. Laura, when you're heading up, I mean, obviously people say St. Brendan's College, they think straight away, oh, football, you're great and you won this and you won everything. Athletics, you have a proud enough history over the course of it. I mean, you were winning individual things in the 1920s, and every now and again you'd win something individual. But to win it on a team and to be recognised as the best school, I mean, that raises the bar something massive.
Oh, definitely. It's fantastic. And I think we obviously have the track as well inside in the school as well, so we're very lucky with that. So I think the use of that is fantastic. I think there's a great culture, and I think it's building all the time. So we try to do training with them on Tuesdays and Friday mornings, so twice a week. And I think, you know, that's fantastic in building that culture as well. There's training every week, and, you know, the boys make friends at training, and, you know, they'll all pal together to go. So yeah, it's fantastic. Great culture in the cross country and in the track. So yeah, it's fantastic. And as Rachel said, Arthur Fitzgerald has been just fantastic in the school and building that culture for years and years before myself and Rachel came. So it's great. It's fantastic.
He needed a bit more help, did he? That's what he needed, was it?
He was always
doing it on his own, maybe.
Yeah.
Come here, Rachel, before we go to the break. I mean, you're preparing for the All-Ireland finals now. I mean, obviously Kerry people don't need any preparation. We'll go straight to the All-Ireland and we're great. How daunting is that now? I mean, obviously, I mean, you're talking about getting through Munster as the best, but I mean, there's a lot of good schools in Leinster, Connacht, and maybe around Cavan and Monaghan and these places as well. How daunting is the task ahead of you?
I suppose it's a big stage. It's a big stage for them. It's the biggest it'll get for them as far as cross-country comes in the country. But there has been great success before in the track and field All-Irelands, and also a number of years ago Ted here, Ted O'Gorman, was part of a team who went to Belfast as part of the intermediate team, so I suppose Ted has experience already going up to the All-Irelands, but it'll be a new experience for the likes of Ryan now and Jack and the other teams, and I suppose it'll be the same kind of mindset, just coming together and knowing that every place counts and that they'll be there for each other, like Jack said, just kind of egging each other on as well, and we'll be there with them and we're really looking forward to it and seeing how they get on.
Stay with us because we're going to come back to you after the break. We'll give you a bit of a break now. So you're around the 3k at the moment, Ted, don't worry. We have another 2.5 laps to go and you'll be out the gap. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Welcome back to Terrace Talk. John Barry here till 8 o'clock this evening. I'm in the company of Laura Hallisey, Rachel Bowler, Ryan Vickers, Jack Cullity and Taylor Gorman, and collectively, of course, they are St. Brendan's College and they're preparing for the All-Ireland cross-country final championships, I mean, which is outstanding. But they're going in there on very good stead because they're after picking up the Best School in Munster Award. Explain, Laura, how does that happen? How could you become the best school? Obviously, I know it's probably the most points in the hall, but maybe explain to the listener how you get picked as the best school.
I suppose, yeah, as you said there, the points on the day. So I suppose we had our three teams to qualify. So we had two bronze and a gold. So that would have all accumulated. But I suppose in terms of building towards that and building to be the best school in Munster this year, I suppose it's an account of the hard work of the boys that they put into their training with us in the school, but also their clubs. So I suppose the boys, the feeder clubs really would be Clarny Valley and Farn Foremain Valley. So they put in ferocious work with the boys as well for training. Obviously, we've great support in our school as well for athletics. Our principal, Sean Coffey, and all management are always so supportive of the athletics. So I suppose all of that would culminate together to be the best school in Munster, I suppose. Yeah.
And it's no mean feat because obviously the cup here is going to fall apart. But it's there. But I mean, Colostrum Crease, obviously everybody knows they're a big Cork school. From 1978 all the way through to 1988, they won it every year. I mean, God almighty, they must have been running cross countries, everything above in the Cork City. But if you go through it, I mean, other schools have won it for an enormous amount of time. Three in a row. Middleton won it there for four. Douglas Community College, my God, they have 6-1 in a row. And then we have, of course, Rockwell College going back through history, a well-known college. And now St. Brendan's are on that. I mean, that has to be a really proud moment, Laura. When that's going to be inspired, perhaps, Laura.
Oh, definitely. It's fantastic. It's just an amazing achievement. We can't wait to get it engraved now, to have it set in stone. And I suppose there's so much history in that cup, as you say, as you read through it. So it's lovely to think that St. Brendan's College will be on that forevermore.
Guys, do you have to train hard enough for an All-Ireland, Ryan? Or is it just the same thing again?
Sure, it's more the same. Just keep doing the same things. And it's worked before, so hopefully it'll work again.
What's your training regime like? I mean, obviously, it's with the school and you train the gang, but obviously you do your own bit with your club. And your club is?
Farn Foremain Valley. So we'd be small enough, like, but we're doing okay.
You punch above your weight, but you give over. You get a lot of good results. And, of course, it's also the club as well of Dave Kenny, is it?
Yeah, he's
Olympian.
Exactly, yeah. He's one of the best in the country, even Europe, like, so.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Ted Gorman, obviously out in Fossey, you have plenty of superstars, but I dare say the Cliffords can run cross country as good as you can, do?
Well, I don't know. Paddy Clifford, he did cross country and he's in the school, I see, so I don't know how good he was, but I'm sure he was good.
I'd say keep going anyway. Jack Cullity, obviously a lot of Clarny people running cross country at the moment. Is it great to run with your friend? You were mentioning it earlier, you know, that you have a bit of slaggy and the whole lot. Does it make it easier to train when you're running with your friend? And obviously you're being well trained as well. Your club is Clarny Valley, is it?
Yep. Oh yeah, no, down in Clarny Valley, the coaches are excellent. They put in so much time and as you can see, it pays off. And yeah, running with your friends just makes it so much easier, you know, because like when you're running on your own, you know, it's kind of it's like mentally difficult, like, you know, I don't know, it can almost be boring at times, so when you have friends there to talk to, it makes it much easier.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, obviously the guys have to go out and run the whole lot, but from the manager's side of it and the coach's side of it, you need to get everything right as well.
We do, I suppose, yeah. And in terms of, so I'm a PE teacher as well over in St. Brennan, so we would do kind of fitness tests at the start of the year to see, I suppose, who would be maybe eligible to compete in cross country and things like that. St. Brennan's College is a big football school, but I suppose running is the basis for a lot of field sports like basketball, football, and it's important that athletes can run as well and students can run, so I suppose we kind of use that as an aid, like it'll aid your football, it'll aid your basketball, if maybe you take part in the running, and more often than not the students really excel in the athletics, and it's great for that, from that perspective as well. And we would do athletics as part of PE as well, so they get a taste of it there. Mm-hmm. And we can see stars who stand out.
And of course we're talking cross country, but athletics is a big family really, isn't it? I mean, it obviously, you have the track and you have the whole lot. What's the athletics department like, and the amount of work that goes into it, and maybe some of the other results that we probably don't mention from time to time?
Yes, so I suppose we're a 3-person department really, myself, Laura and Arthur Fitzgerald, and I suppose within the three of us we bring different disciplines. So my background would be long jump and sprinting, and Laura and Arthur's then will be more middle distance, long distance. So I suppose the three of us do bring different training techniques, coaching techniques, and I suppose throughout the years the 4x4 relay team now, who Oisín Lynch and Jason O'Reilly are part of, they're going for 3 in a row in the All-Irelands, 3 goals in a row. We actually had the two of them come in and speak to the athletes or the students as well at the start of the year, the first training session, because they compete in the European Youth Olympics in during the summer. So I suppose a bit of inspiration as well for the athletes and the students as they start their journey with athletics in St. Brennan's College, and that all plays a part as well when they can see their peers and they can see, oh, I can achieve that someday if I keep going with this.
Yeah, and of course that's a lot of it as well. I mean, I suppose it's great to have heroes that are on the wall, but kids that are doing it maybe 3 or 4 years ahead of them, that they know, or they might know where they live and they know their brothers, I mean, that's probably far more inspirational at this age group.
Massively, like the role model aspect is huge there, and the two students, Oisín and Jason, were delighted to come in and speak.
And they're great speakers.
They're great speakers. They are, yeah.
They love their athletics and they're going really well. And no doubt we're probably watching the World Championships indoors for like including. Laura, there must be a lot of fun involved in this as well. I mean, obviously when we see coaching, God almighty, out and running laps and the whole lot. But when you're dealing with so many different, I suppose, characters, I suppose might be the easiest word to say it, when you're dealing from Jack to Ryan, and you have what, maybe 24 or 30 more doing all the things, is it easy to manage? Is there a bit of fun involved? What's the kind of the secret ingredient? What holds it together?
All fun, I suppose, as you say, yeah. And they're all fantastic. Like the boys, every trip we bring them on, there's great fun. There's not too much management in it, really. They're all just delighted to be, I suppose, going to the events and doing the trainings and all of that. And I suppose that element of fun, we actually organised our own.
Is Arthur fun, is he?
Oh, he's great fun, yeah. He is. He brings good old laughs now. Yeah, he brings good old laughs to the trainings. But yeah, we actually organised an in-house athletics event before Christmas last 2 years. So that kind of got the whole school involved. And we had the Christmas music going, and we had a lot of different, I suppose, events on, not just cross-country. We had sprints and long jump as well. So there was good fun, I'd like to think, that day anyway. I don't know, the boys might disagree, but I think they enjoyed it. So that's great. And you can even see through training the friendships that are formed. You know, first day they might come and they might know anyone, particularly in first year, and then, you know, a couple of weeks down they're jogging away together and they're happy out. So it's great. It's great.
And of course that's an aspect of school that we kind of forget as well. I mean, for a lot of people that are coming from primary school into secondary school, and it's kind of like starting at the bottom of the stairs again, and it can be daunting and it takes them, I suppose, a while. But if they do have a love of a sport or a running or anything, it's kind of a different environment, and they're meeting friends, I suppose, that they might necessarily, I mean, sure, the fussy would hardly speak to fires, would they? None of them speak to Legion, obviously, in the real world. But when they're running, they're all running in the one vest and the one singlet, and they are a team. And it brings them on maybe even more.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Jack Hullity, All-Ireland, what, bronze medal? Surely a gold.
I don't know about gold now, but, you know, hopefully I may be a top three. But
when you go home to your family and saying, I'm running cross-country, they say, dear God almighty, cross-country, really? Could you not play badminton or something?
It's a bit of a lot of work, you know. You've got to put in the training, and you have to wipe the spikes after the race with all the mud. And
oh God, the cleaning is desperate, isn't it?
It's desperate, yeah.
Yeah, especially cross country. You're looking to have spikes at all. A lot of people back in the day used to run barefoot cross country. You'll be safe enough. Ted Gorman, I mean, 6K. Do you know the track you're going to run? Is it hilly? Is it flat? Or do you not know it till the day? Or do you have something scouting it for you?
No, I wouldn't have scouts, but I've never been. I think it's in Tella.
Okay.
Tella Park. I've never been there, but I'd imagine for all Ireland it's going to be a good course.
Okay. What's good for you? Do you want a nice dry, or do you want to muck it up like the backfield in Fosse or something? Or?
Well, it's bound to be mucky, I'd say. But just anything once it's not too hilly.
What are the challenges on a mucky course? Obviously, coming to corners and things like that. But, I mean, slipping, is it a thing? Ryan said it happened to him in the last race. Is it something that can happen? Is it something that has happened during the past?
I don't slip often, but the muck, it just drains your legs, makes them very heavy from start to finish. And
okay. So are you running then on the nicest piece of grass for as long as you can, or are you just ploughing through the muck anyway?
Usually there isn't much nice piece of grass.
Is there not? I suppose, yeah. How many is in a race like that? What are we talking?
You'd be talking maybe 75 to 100 people.
Okay.
Usually, yeah. There's about 50 in some monsters, and it goes up then, kind of.
Lots of elbows, I'd say, going around corners and stuff, is there?
Yeah, the start mainly.
Yeah. And are you kind of conscious of the fact that you must get through the first lap before you kind of really charge on, or are you like Ryan, you just put on the race box and off you go?
I suppose the first lap's probably the most important for finding your place, and usually you stay with a pack and you can kind of judge off who you're running with, and it's just about getting up there as fast as you can.
Ryan, do you get a feel for a race very early on that, God, this is going to be a quick one, this is going to be maybe a more strategic one, this has a bad corner or an awful hill that drains me out? Do you get a feel for that fairly quickly, or do you have a feel for it before the race starts?
Well, sure, when you arrive at the course, you'll see if it's hilly, then you're kind of like, this is going to be a tough one. But some weeks it could be a very nice course where it's flattened, lovely grass, and it'll be just going away straight away and you'll be flying.
And of course, you're running cross-country season across the kingdom as well, aren't you, at various events? So where's your favourite cross-country track in Kerry?
There's not many good ones in Kerry, but... Well, the Domain isn't bad in Kerry, so...
All right, the Domain. Oh, yeah, the Domain, round and round and round.
Yeah.
God almighty. No hill in the Domain. Come here, Rachel, finally wrapping up, I suppose. I mean, this is the start of a journey, obviously. I mean, you've won Munster. Best look ahead. Obviously, I mean, that's a huge step from Munster up to that level. You're bringing a very good team with you. But this isn't just a one-year thing. I mean, this has been worked on year after year after year. Are you where you want to be now? Or do you want to push on another little bit, maybe?
We certainly want to push on another little bit, I'd say. And I think it's definitely in the students of St. Brendan's to do that. Like, having the track now in our school is just fantastic. It's such a landmark, and it's a hugely striking feature, I suppose. And it's a hugely attractive feature to students who are starting in school, and indeed, like, students who are already in the school. I think our students have showed great pride in themselves when they wear the St. Brendan's colours and the St. Brendan's singlets, and I think that's only going to improve as the years go on. Certainly we've a great foundation now, and we just want to build on that. And I just like to shout out as well to the two Prez girls who also qualified, and that would be Kirsten Kenny and Grace O'Mara. So we're going to be egging them and cheering them on the day as well.
You can take him in the back seat of the bus, can you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We'll accept him, yeah.
Absolutely. Come here, Laura. I mean, how excited are you to go up the next day? I mean, obviously, other individuals have gone to All-Ireland Finals as a whole. You're bringing a very strong team up. As kind of coaches, mentors, they're kind of like your kids or your family now at this stage. I mean, like you said, you'll be running around every corner, you'll be shouting out to keep up and the whole lot. And of course, Kerry people have expectations. Oh my God, it's an All-Ireland Final, so we're going to win that at a race. That's what we have. But the reality is that this is a small part of a big journey that is still kind of developing as such.
Yeah. It'll be a big day for them, but I think it's a fantastic experience, even to, as you say, that jump up to an All-Ireland standard, and even, you know, once they've their own race, you know, ran, even to see you know, those phenomenal elite athletes running who they will no doubt go on to see run internationally in years to come. So it's just fantastic for them to be part of it, and I'm sure they'll drive on and they could even be some of those international athletes that go on as well to that level. So yeah, it's fantastic. We're really looking forward to it now. So yeah.
Well, Ryan, Jack and Ted, the very best of luck.
You.
I say, Jack will be relaxed about it anyway.
Yeah,
he's there for the fun. Ted, 6K around Tella. I mean, there's a lot of grass to run. And of course, Ryan, the very best of luck as well. And of course, to Laura and Rachel and Arthur, who isn't here tonight. He's always busy in the month, isn't he?
Busy man.
Listen, that's the St. Brendan's College crew. The very best of luck. They're preparing for their All-Ireland. They have so many cups and plates and everything won. And this cup is amazing. Get it inscribed fairly quickly.
Yeah.
St. Brendan's College. You can nearly shove the clarinet bit in as well, maybe take two lines. You never know. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, super, it's got all the excitement for the cross-country running. We'll wind it back a little bit and we'll talk about, I won't say old people's football, so that'd be awful to say it, wouldn't it?
I know.
We're in the company of Dennis Kennelly and David Clifford, of course. We're talking the Kerry Masters, and of course we're following that journey with the last number of years now, and it's year three of the project, which is fierce exciting. And we went from an All-Ireland semi-final, Dennis, to an All-Ireland final last year, and of course you know Kerry people, like, you know, they want the cup now this year. And of course before the season starts, there's a lot of prep work that's going into it, and dare I say, Dennis, that year on year things get better, things get more professional, more people come on board, and maybe it's an easier sell as well because people have seen what you've done the last 2 years and they want to get involved. And maybe some guy who was 39 last year is 40 this year and he's absolutely flying. You've had a number of trials. Tell me the season so far.
Look, I suppose last year was a great year for us, I suppose, like from a point of view of getting our name out there again, like, you know, going up against Tyrone, the top team for the last couple of years, great learning curve for us, but unfortunately we got put back in our place really a small bit, like, but we're still making great inroads on where we are, where we started from 2 years ago. We've got a great bunch of lads in a panel, a great camaraderie in the group, and we're trying to build on that, and we've set up the foundation for what we want to build, which is kind of a panel of players that lads can come in, enjoy a game of football and have a bit of a crack afterwards, like, you know, it is a good way for lads that age to stay playing, and we're finding that more and more that they, once they come in the door, they actually want to stay with us, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And we've very few that have walked away since we started, so work commitments is the main thing really, and family, but, like, you know, if they can fit it in at all, like, there's no brainer, they want to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose where we're going this year, I suppose, is kind of, we started off as same as last year, trying to build a committee to support what's going on the field, you know, so on the backroom team. So we've got about 7 or 8 lads on the committee at the moment, and we're trying to grow the name, I suppose, from the point of view of sponsorship, and trying to get managers and, you know, sideline backroom teams and everything. It's small, like, you know, it's all voluntary, like, you know, there's nobody getting anything out of it, only, you know, a game of football, but, like, you still have the right structures in place to draw the people in and trying to get our name out there. And I think last year, I think from a publicity point of view, we were active on social media and we got a lot of that out there, especially coming up to the final and stuff, and we got a lot of backing from not only companies and stuff, clubs as well, like, you know, really got behind us, and, you know, we really kind of felt like, you know, that there was an appetite there for it.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great goodwill towards it when people kind of understand what it is and the project, because I remember when it started first, people were going through the team sheets and they were looking for all the Kerry players in the 90s and the 2000s, and that's not what it's about at all. I mean, it's the Masters, you don't have to have played for Kerry. Some have, which is great, but, you know, some fellas have been slogging it out for their club all through their 30s and they hit 40s and they're still active and they still want to play and they can still contribute. And then there's, I suppose, the county aspect to it, where they are going up against the best in Dublin and they are going up against the best in Tyrone. And I suppose the longer that you're in this, Dennis, like you said, you're trying to set the foundation for the project, and we'll call it a project in that nice sense, because I suppose you're at the very infancy of it. I mean, and when we look back in 10 years' time, we'll say, oh God, this is how it grew, and it grew properly, and this is how the structure grew, and it's very important. So the structure and getting the structure and getting the right people in at the start, that's probably the most crucial part of this.
It is, like, you know, because if we don't have that right, you know, nothing else will, you know, work. Like, you know, we need to sustain that, like, and bringing lads in, like, you know, the fact that we still have the same lads pretty much what we have from year one coming back year three, and you know, we know ourselves, like, you know, we want younger lads coming in too, you know. When I say younger, like, obviously 39 year olds coming 40,
those awful young 39 year olds.
Like, that's important too, like, you know, and it keeps the rest of us kind of going as well, like, and pushing us more, but as well, like, and we get out, we get a bit of exercise, you know, and it keeps us going and what we want to be doing. We don't want to go back into gyms and start, you know, looking at other alternatives to stay fit. We're born and bred playing football, like, and we want to be playing football for as long as we can. As the slogan goes, like, you know, we don't get old because we stop playing. We get old. We don't stop playing because we get old. We get old because we stop playing.
Stop playing. Oh, very good.
So that's the logo, like, you know, and like, to me, like, you know, playing the football, like, is what I always wanted to do. Do you know what I mean? Management and refereeing and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's a sideshow, like, you know. But playing the game, you can't beat it. Like,
yeah. Of course, you need a manager.
We do.
You brought one with you, Joe.
I did. No, we've.
He's not the famous David Clifford, but they're all famous David Cliffords, are they?
So most are in here. Well, I suppose I'm the older one. That's why I always look at. I'm around a lot longer than the real David Clifford.
You've got a car as well, have you?
I have, yeah. Not a sponsored one. I have my own. Yeah.
David, when you get asked to kind of join up or get involved, does it take long to decide, or do you say, God, no, this sounds like something that's right down my alley? Or is there more pressure on it, maybe?
Well, I suppose what happened last year was I came in late in the year myself. I suppose there was a few involved before I came in, and they asked me to do a session with them, and I suppose we went through it. It worked out well. I left, and they were kind of happy for me to come back again. They asked me to come back and give them a handout. So I suppose it's great for me to be involved. Like, I suppose I'm involved in my own club, and I'm involved with different clubs, and I'm involved with, say, McCary and stuff like that. So to get involved with any team is experience for me, I suppose. I'm kind of gone from what Dennis says. It's more the coaching now that drives me than the playing, obviously, you know. When the black card came in, it retired me, so I left that time. I suppose I was very lucky. My own club retired me, really, in 2013. We got in an outside trainer, PJ Reedy, came in that time, and I just fell in with him. So I suppose I learned an awful lot from him, which I try to bring to any club I go to. So look, I suppose when I went in with him last year, the training was good. We enjoyed it, do you know. It's different to training a younger team, I suppose, because you can't run the legs off them.
Yeah.
And once they all enjoy it, and once we have the crack with it, we were very lucky, I suppose. Last year we built from when we came in, and we got to an All Ireland final, and I suppose that's kind of where we're looking now. Like, when we got there once, you'd like to get there again. Yeah. So the pressure, I suppose, there's pressure no matter what age group.
It's the kind of team I'd imagine where every person that brings something, but they know how much they bring as well, as in, like, you know, the amount of subs that come in and out. I mean, lots of players will know, I can give you 20 minutes, or I can definitely give you 15, or I can give a half an hour, or I mightn't, like I said, a work commitment, I mightn't be available Tuesday, but I'll stand on the side of the pitch and help you out. So there's an awful lot of moving plates in that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's a totally different game, I suppose, to a game of football. Like, it's a lot of time management, and give what you can while you can, and come out of there. And there's chances when players come off, they can come back on again. So we kind of work it around the best way we can work it around. Like, that's why you probably want a panel, you know, 30-odd players, really. That's what you'd want, maybe more with it, because it the work commitments, family commitments with this age group, you know, it's different, I suppose, when you have an underage team there, they're mad to train. These guys, they're all working, they all have families, their kids are all playing football, they're all involved in clubs, they could be training clubs. So on away games and home games, you need as many players as you can, and you need to use them the best you can for their own, what they can give you and what you can give back to them. So definitely, yeah, like, it's all about time management, really, with it. Like,
it's a very different jigsaw to a club where you just expect them all to be there, because, like I said, there's so many moving parts. Well, we'll take a quick moving part, because we'll take a quick commercial break now, and back we will chat with John Jummy just for a small bit, because Kerry FC are playing tonight as well. And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, of course. And there is a very big game, of course, just over the road from us in Mount Hawk Park this evening. Kerry FC are taking on Treaty United once more, and John Drummy is there for us.
Yeah, Donal, a very good evening to you. You're welcome to Mount Hawk Park. The whistle has just gone. Kerry FC up against Treaty United for the second time in 4 days. But this time it's in the semi-final of the Munster Senior Cup. And it is a blustery, wet evening here in Mount Hawk Park in Tralee. Kerry are playing down towards the Mount Hawk end with the wind in their faces for the first half, dressed all in green with the white socks. And Treaty, who were in blue the other night, they're in red with white sleeves this evening, red shorts and red socks. The Kerry team team, a couple of changes from the team that lost 1-0 last Friday night in the SSC Airtricity League. You've got Antonio Tuta in goal, Kevin Williams is captain at right back, and then you've got Sam Allitt and Snoozy. Ethan Koss is in for Andrew Spain as the centre defence alongside Sean O'Connell. Ronan Tehan is beside Stephen Healy, and then on one side you've Kennedy Amechi, you've Sean McGrath and Nathan Gleeson back from suspension, and then Victor Udaisi is up front. And then the team that it's a full 11 changes from Friday night. In goal, it's Michael Dyke, who came on towards the end, conceded that penalty and watched it go over the bar as the last kick of the game on Friday night. Yusuf Madi is captain tonight. He came on, of course, and scored that goal, that all-important goal that gave Treaty the 3 points. Alec Byrne, Adam O'Halloran, David Tarmey, Conor Carew, Fionn Doherty, Robbie Lynch, Leon Kiran, Mark Byrne and Mark Murphy. They complete the Treaty lineup. We've had a minute and a half, nothing of major importance to report at this stage. Kerry FC 0, Treaty United 0, Donal.
Thank you very much. And of course, that's John Drummy. And they're playing Treaty United again, absolutely. This time it's the Munster Senior League, though. And hopefully they get their home win there and that as well, going well. Going well as well as the Kerry Masters in the company of David Clifford and Dennis Kennelly. Dennis, I suppose one of the questions, I suppose, access to facilities and fields and the whole lot. I'd imagine you're based in around the middle of the county somewhere, because obviously, I mean, somebody from Lynch is going to find it very hard to travel all the way to Bruston every weekend. How's that going for you?
Yeah, look, last two years now, we've been very lucky with Cairns Rallies and Strand Road. They've been very good to us, and also in Fossa and Killarney. When David came on board, he was more than happy to try and get Kiel for us as well. So we try to kind of accommodate lads as much as possible around Tralee, Killarney, or even somewhere along the way. So yeah, like, we'll be aiming for that again this year, and hopefully once the fields become drier, they might open up the gates again for us. Like, so at the moment though, I think a lot of players are struggling to get
difficult at the moment. I mean, even under 15 training has to be cancelled every week, and we just can't find a field. We can't just even find a patch of dry ground. David, looking back at last season and looking back at maybe the season before, because some of the players would have been involved, that during the first year I thought everything was really new and exciting, and God, you know, we're motoring away. Last season got a little bit more competitive at times, and getting the taste of that All-Ireland final and getting the it was streamed live, and you know, it put it on the counter for a lot of people to watch. And of course, you know, obviously people being Kerry people look at the thing, they say the result and this, and then they see who played for Tyrone. The Kerry people are getting a little bit better or understanding at what this is about.
I suppose they are really a small bit, yeah. Like I said, when I got involved, I suppose I didn't know at the start what even I was getting myself in for. And when we took it on board, we were only kind of training to get to where we wanted to get to. And then I suppose the more training we were doing, the better we were getting, the fitter things were going. And we got to the All-Ireland final, which was great, fantastic. Like, and once you get, of course, an All-Ireland is an All-Ireland, no matter what way you look at it. Like, up against Tyrone, like, they're very professional run. Like, I suppose up there, they're training twice a week. All their players are still playing with their clubs, stuff like that. Like, so they look at it a lot more serious than, I suppose, what we are trying to get it to. I suppose we're trying to get to that level, really. You know, the Tyrone level is the level, I suppose, that the Masters has been playing at, and they've proven it, I suppose, over the last 2 years, what they have. Looking at what they have a lot. They use it with a lot more of the older Tyrone players that they have compared to what we do. We open it up to anyone that wants a trial for us. Anyone that's at the age, they're more than welcome to come in. Do you know what I mean? We kind of family orientate it. A lot of thing with kids on the field, you know, after the games.
And that's part of the magic of it. I mean, when the game is over, I mean, the teams join together to the photographs. And it's one of those rare occasions where your small kids at 3 or 4 or 5, or your daughters at 11 or 12, get to see their, I suppose, father or uncle, or dare I say, maybe even grandfather, maybe some of them, in a Kerry jersey representing their county. And that's part of the magic.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And I suppose even for the players themselves to put on a Kerry jersey, you know, it's great for them. It's great for their own kids to be there with them and watching it, you know, like an All-Ireland final. Like I said, you know, no matter what competition it's in, to play in All-Ireland, it's great. Like, that weekend, there was a great, even in our training and everything, there was a great buzz in the whole morale of the panel and everything. Even from my point of view, getting involved there, I was only delighted to be involved in it. Mm-hmm. You know, but I suppose we're looking at building this every year. You know, it's new to the county. I suppose the more support we can get, anyone, you know, that, like I said, it's this interest and trial note for us. We'd only be delighted to have them. You know, so, and like that, we have to thank anyone that give us pitch to play on or to train on. It's very hard at the moment to get them.
And one of the other things that people will go when they go to see the matches is that it's football played as football. I mean, they don't have the pace or the engines to have blankets and the whole lot. So it's literally men on men, ball into the corner, chase it, win it, move it on. It's good football.
Yeah, it's kind of open football, in fairness. Like, going back to when we started playing out back in probably the '90s, it was open football, a lot of kick passing. We mind the ball because it's very hard to get it back, you know, things like that. So shooting opportunities, you take your chances when they come. Like, so look, it is kind of the man on man, and that's the way we try and play it. I think, like, that's the way it should be played, look, as much as we can as possible, like, you know. And it gets more enjoyable that way. Mm-hmm. I think the players want to play that way.
And of course, look, it's important to get other people on board, players, managers, pitches, it's all part of the jigsaw. But obviously, you know, there's a small bit of finance that is not a big amount of finance that needed to drive it. But there is a certain amount, and there's an opportunity for kind of maybe good sponsors to come on board, clever sponsors to come on board, because, I mean, you're practically feeding into the whole county. You have an inter-county level that will get you towards the end where you will get good coverage and you will get headlines and you will appear in the Sunday Independent, maybe just a small thing, but it will refer to it as the Masters. And because you have the Tyrones and the Dublins interested in it, it's of a huge quality and a huge level.
Yeah, like the sponsorship so far, like, you know, we've been trying to go local with our own. Let's say players go to local businesses to get a few pound off them, like, but like it covers a small bit of the cost, like, you know. So we try to take as much off the players as we can, like, mm-hmm. and let them just go and play football, like, rather than looking for handouts all the time, like. So we reached out last year when we got to the final for clubs as well to give us a bit of a dig out, and they did, in fairness to them, like, it was great. But it'd be yeah, look, if there is somebody out there that wants to come behind us and, you know, promote themselves and promote us, look, we'll be all ears, like, and we'd love to talk to anyone that would be kind of able to give us, and it's not massive money at the end of the day, like, but it's just, you know, enough to keep the show going, like, you know.
And equally, if you get a good sponsor, they come on board, they might even dictate to you, you should be doing this a little bit more, we might need you to do a little bit more of that. They might even open up another field somewhere, they might have another connection. So it's not necessarily money as they help, but, you know, maybe a bit of a kind of business acumen on the back, which is hugely important too.
Oh yeah, look, there's many ways of supporting what we do here, like, you know, and from a point of view of getting behind us, anything that costs money is something that's negative, like, from our point of view. We have a small kitty, like, even if it's only supporting, like, you know, travel or, you know, food if we're travelling away, like games and stuff like that, it's all small, but it adds up, like, you know, for lads and players, like, so.
Yeah. You do have a couple of guys, well, not travelling away, hopefully, but there is the compromise rule side of it, which sounds frightening, to be honest with you. But you have a number of Kerry players involved in that.
We do, yeah. We have one over 40s Masters playing, Johnny right there from Bay, you know who. Then we have your own Mike.
Mike Coffey.
That is playing the over 50s. And we have somebody playing as well on the ladies over 40s.
Brilliant.
So that's something that was started last year. That was talked about last year, apologies. But the Australians are coming over. I think they're flying in this week. So that's starting off next Saturday. There'll be three games up in, I think it was moved to Mayo, and also meant to be Galway, but it's moved up to Mayo. And there'll be three games next Saturday for the first round of it, and then again the following Saturday for the second round of it.
Yeah, Ronan Rocks, who I went to college with from Derry, I think he's the head man of the whole lot. And I love the way that it's just one from every county as well, which kind of rotates it around and gets everybody involved. David Clifford, at the end of the year, managers are judged on results. My God, roll up the sleeves and get ready. It's not that stressful, is it? Results-based business?
Definitely not at the start, I suppose. We, this really is to guys that still want to play football, they want to have a bit of fun, you know, they want to get out in the field, they want to have their families involved to watch them play football. It starts like that, but as you know, in Kerry, once it gets competitive, yeah, it gets competitive, and I suppose the farther you go on it and the longer the year goes on, yeah, it would be great obviously to go a step further. We were close last year, I suppose. Look, when you go up against the likes of Tyrone, you know, we knew we were going to have our work cut out for him. To be fair, we did very well in the game, you know, coming up to half time. That's exactly where we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. We're missing a couple of links. We're hoping them players will come in with us, and
they just had the scores on the night. They had the 100%. Guys who could just find it, and I suppose that's built up over experience as well, because they're on the road a long time, that Tyrone team as well.
Oh, they are, yeah. And like, look, I spoke with their manager after, and the regime they're doing, they're training like a mm-hmm. county team. They're like yeah. they're still taking it as serious as if they were training for the current Tyrone team. Yeah. And I suppose, look,
am and I there's a lot of them former Tyrone footballers.
More on there, most of them were, yeah. And like yeah. they were missing one or two. Like it proved on the day they only use one sub. Do you know what I mean? Compared to we on the day we used, I think it was either 10 or 11. So we rotated. But look, we're there to give game time to players. If they're going to give up the time, they deserve to get a run. You know, and an All Ireland, whether it's a game, the first round or whether it's the last round, that's what it's about. I suppose it's a competition for us to progress in, and I suppose I'm only delighted to be involved. It's something to be doing for the year, even though my wife is she mightn't say the same
thing.
Surely
you tell her that you're doing another
well,
more training.
To be fair, she's behind me all the way, so it's great.
Good
to
stuff.
Have her.
Come here, Dennis. North Kerry back, so Kerry forwards. Is that it?
That's always the way things worked, all right, like, you know. But yeah, we have a good shot of North Kerry lads up there. We're looking for a few more lads from South Kerry. So, like, there's a lot of areas that haven't been really, I suppose, tapped up yet. South Kerry being one of them. West Kerry, another area, like Killarney. There's plenty of lads out there. Look, we're mad to get them in, have a look at what's going on and see where we go. Like,
so you have to start scouting Division 5 and Division 6, is it?
You're higher than that, surely, to God.
There aren't too many South Kerry teams higher in Division 5 at the moment. We were well high at one stage. Come here, wrapping it up, the season ahead, I mean, obviously you get your fixtures, you have your 5 or 6 games, and then you get rotated into what league you're into. But obviously at this stage, when you got a sniff of the All-Ireland last year, that's where you want to be, isn't it?
It is, like, you know, look, momentum carries itself. Like, you know, where you end up is where you end up. Like, an All-Ireland final is where we always want to be. Like, but we looked back last year and we saw Limerick competing in the third tier competition, and they won that, like, and like their first year in it, and they were, you know, over the moon with what they got out of it, like, you know. But like, we obviously want to be competing at the highest level we can, which is if it's Tyrone and Dublin. It means obviously maybe a tough outing again, like, you know. So if we have the panel to compete with that, then no problem at all. Like,
fair, but pleasure.
You know, if we get second tier and turn, you know, we end up there, because like, we were skinning our teeth last year, we went to a playoff to stay in the top tier, and we got enough points to the final. So like, it could have been very easily, as you say, Ronan Rocks was up there that day, and the Derry team was taunting him, and he was kind of in the same boat as us. Like, they would have taken the second tier or top tier, like, you know, they knew Tyrone were going to be hard to beat, yeah. Like, you know.
So Derry avoided Tyrone, huh?
Derry avoided Tyrone, we got them, but like, at the end of the day, it was a great experience.
Good stuff. That's Terrace Talk for this week. Up next is Mary Conroy. Big thanks to Keane on sound this evening, and we'll do it all again next week.